Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. If you're wondering why your pet's breath smells like the south end of a northbound skunk, consider oral hygiene. It's often overlooked when it comes to our dogs and cats, and so is the notion that Fido might need a root canal or a crown or a bridge. Yes, dogs and cats get root canals too. Today we'll talk about how to keep your pet's teeth working in top condition. And with us today, Dr. Wayne Hunhausen. He's an animal behavior expert, and he's the owner of the Westwood Animal Hospital and Wellness Center. And Wayne, always good to have you here.
Yeah, great to be back.
Dr. Scott McGee is also here. He's one of two board-certified veterinarian dentists at Companion Animal Dentistry of Kansas City that's located in Lenexa. There are just 131 veterinary dentist specialist in the entire world, and Scott's one of them. And so good to have you, Scott. Welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, crowns and bridges and root canals for dogs, Scott, is that really, that's going to surprise some people.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly, most of our referral basis is because of, you know, they have fractured a tooth because they're having behavior issues or trying to chew out of a cage, which Dr. Hunthausen obviously does. But we also get a lot of dogs with periodontal disease, which is the most common disease that we'll see in our dogs and cats.
You know, Wayne, how can you tell if your dog or cat or whatever your exotic pet is having some dental issues? What are some clues that something's not right?
Well, some problems might occur when the pet's eating something, a food that's hard or a biscuit. And so you might see a pet bite into some dry food and it falls out of the side of its mouth. You might see some drooling from the side of the mouth. Cats sometimes will come up, approach a bowl of dry food and hiss at it because they anticipate pain.
Yeah.
And then there can be just vague signs, just like a person with a tooth problem. You're just not as upbeat and happy, and you don't want to do things. And so sometimes withdrawal, less interest in play and social interaction could be a sign that there's a problem in the mouth.
Scott, largest and smallest animals you've ever worked on?
Largest would be a tiger.
Really?
Yeah. And then the smallest, I would say, would probably just be a little kitten or puppy that we worked on when it was real young.
You know, I gather when it came to the tiger, that a big kitty that size, you make sure they're asleep before you start messing around. I would guess that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. How different is it working on a tiger compared to a house cat?
Well, certainly we take the same precautions we would take whether we're working on a large tiger or a small house cat. You know, you don't want the tiger waking up in the middle of procedure, but certainly we take all the same precautions that we would. So
yeah. And how do you ensure the tiger's not going to wake up during the middle of a procedure?
Proper anesthetic protocols and using the right anesthetics to make sure that they stay anesthetized during the procedure.
Was it a full-grown tiger?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
You have to have a big table to put the tiger on and the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And what did you have to do to that tiger?
It was when I was in veterinary school. It had a tumor that we were removing off of its leg.
Oh, so, well, nothing to do with its mouth.
Nothing to do with its mouth. No,
you weren't messing with teeth or anything like that.
Not at that point in time. No.
Yeah, yeah. And how complicated is it doing a root canal or a bridge for an animal compared to a human being? Is it the same procedure?
The same procedure. Yeah, the principles are the same. For a root canal, we do the exact same thing. We use the exact same materials that a human dentist would use. We get the materials and stuff from a human dental supply company. So.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you want to work on animals? I mean, why not humans? Because as you pointed out here, there are just 131 veterinarian dentist specialists in the entire world. Why did you want to be one of them?
Well, I think when I first got out of veterinary school, there was not a lot of we did not get a lot of education in dentistry in a lot of the schools, but as I was out in general practice, I found that there was a need, and I saw a lot of animals with bad teeth, whether they were fractured teeth or had periodontal disease. And so as I continued to educate myself more and learn more, I became more and more interested and
that's interesting. Yeah,
found a love for it.
You know, Wayne, we've talked about this topic on our shows in the past, but you do get a sense that when it comes to oral hygiene, that most pet owners, at least many of them, aren't really clued in that that's part of the maintenance ball game here when it comes to taking care of a dog or cat.
Yeah. And preventive care is just as important for cats and dogs as it is for people.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to educate families when they first get their kitten or puppy to start thinking about that. Because the first step is just just getting the pet used to having fingers in the mouth
toothbrush.
Yes, exactly. You can progress from just gently handling the mouth and the lips to putting some doggy toothpaste on your finger and rubbing it on the gums. And there are toothpastes made specifically for dogs and cats that are liver flavored or fish flavored. Or for my dog, it might be dead squirrel flavor.
Why not? No, they don't really make that, do they?
No.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But then you progress.
I would have gone out right now and bought some if that was the case. Yeah.
Yeah. But and then you progress to using a toothbrush, and really that's brushing the teeth is, and so Dr. McGee will mention, it's just the most important thing is getting that plaque off before it becomes mineralized and then causing periodontal disease and lost teeth.
And so in theory, how often should you be brushing your dog and cat's teeth? I know a lot of folks aren't doing it. Yeah.
Well, certainly if you're going to be brushing their teeth, if they will let you, or if you're taking the time to do that, it should be done at least three times a week or more frequently.
Yeah.
Depending on if they have active periodontal disease, then we might be recommending they do it twice a day. If they have, you know, a fairly clean bill of health in their mouth, they might just be able to get by with like every other day.
Yeah, Wayne.
And there are some pet owners that have cats and dogs that aren't cooperative, to say the least.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are you all recommending these days for other things that they can do besides brushing the teeth?
Well, there's certainly a lot of different products out there. Like I said, brushing is kind of the gold standard. There are different rinses. There are different treats. There are different foods that can certainly help. Anything that has the Veterinary Oral Health Council seal of approval, the VOHC, has been proven to be effective at helping reduce tartar and plaque. And what I always tell people when they come in, if you're not able to brush the teeth, whether it's because of the dog or cat or because of their schedule, just realize that they need to come in maybe instead of once a year, maybe they need to have their teeth cleaned under anesthesia, you know, every 6 months or something like that, no different than when we go to our dentist. And
that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, all the time.
Yeah. Do you give them mint, you know, the mint product to clean their teeth, or cinnamon, or what do you use?
Well, we go through
just me what I want.
Just like us, we don't give them a choice as far as the flavor polish they want, but it is just a standard mint flavored Profi paste.
You know, if someone hasn't been doing this, you know, as they should have been all along, and they have a mid, you know, range age dog or cat in their home, is it too late to start, or is it, have you passed a certain marker if you haven't done it up by now and you're just, it's too much trouble to try and get there?
No, it's never too late to start. I mean, I certainly would recommend having them have their teeth cleaned and checked and evaluated and having full mouth x-rays to assess if there is a painful process or a painful tooth that might be causing them a problem, because you don't want to start trying to brush their teeth if they have a painful tooth and then they have a negative feedback where they say, oh, it hurts, and then they're not really ever able to brush their teeth. So we'd rather make sure that their mouth is healthy and that they don't have any problems before we start trying to brush their teeth.
So you're talking about the same kind of sort of routine and procedure on a dog or cat that I go through when I go to the dentist myself every 6 months.
The exact same. We go through the exact same stuff. Yes,
man.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And to clean their teeth and do all that, you've got to put them asleep, right?
Yes. Yes. To be thorough and be safe, they do need to be under anesthesia. Certainly with the modern anesthetic protocols, it's perfectly safe, you know, whether they're 14 or whether they're 4, it's always, you know, we want to make sure everything's safe. So, you know, pre-anesthetic blood work, choosing the right anesthetic protocol, and then proper monitoring. Anesthesia shouldn't be a major worry, but the process is the same. We go through and clean and evaluate and take a probe just like your dentist does or hygienist does and check and make sure that there aren't any signs of periodontal disease.
Now, I imagine the first time that an owner of a dog or cat does this, for a cat, this is going to be hard, right? I mean, we've talked on this show, why do people own cats? I've never quite understood it, but that's a whole different topic for another show. I'm a dog guy and I'm proud to say that I am, but cats are a different thing. Can you do it? Can you clean a cat's teeth?
Sure.
Can you?
Yeah. And are you talking about brushing the teeth?
Brushing their teeth. Are they going to sit still for that?
You know, they're not quite as cooperative as dogs are. But yes, you can. If you start early and you take your time and you gradually introduce that kitten to gentle handling around the mouth and to toothpaste and so forth, and you do it frequently, but you don't actually push the cat to a point where it has had enough and maybe tries to bite or something, you can do that.
I cannot see a cat sitting still for that.
You're sort of a cat bigot, aren't you, Steve?
Well, I am a little bit. I don't know what it is about. I'm allergic to them. That's issue number one.
Well, that's a good excuse. Cats are great pets. And actually, they recently surpassed dogs as the most common pet in the United States. They have?
Dogs have lost out to cats?
Well, yeah.
That's a milestone moment in your world, isn't it?
They're now a minority, like old white men.
How did I miss this? This is a big deal. How did I miss this?
I don't know. But
the
stats for about the last 10 years or so, they've gradually surpassed dogs.
But the key, obviously, getting serious again, is you've got to start out young. You've got to start indoctrinate dogs and cats to this idea early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really the key. And with my kittens and puppies that come in after I've done my exam, one thing I try to information I try to pass on to the families is to go home and play doctor with a pet. And I want the family to take this young kitten or puppy home and look at its mouth and look in its ears and touch its teeth and do all the things I'm going to need to do over the pet's life so the pet's more likely to tolerate it later on.
There aren't 8% of the cats in this world who would put up with that. You can't tell me there are more than 8% of all cats in this country would put up with that.
Do you have those numbers, Scott?
It's more than 8%.
Yeah. Really?
We have a lot of people that do provide home care for their cats. So they go, we go – Like Dr. Hunthausen was saying, we recommend going slow when they're first starting out. I don't recommend sticking a toothbrush in a cat's mouth or a dog's mouth because the first time you do it, they're not going to be really accepting to it.
So
it
you might start out how? With your finger?
Usually with toothpaste. We'll take like a piece of gauze or, if somebody takes, we usually send home some gauze for them, but I'll just have them wrap it or, wrap their finger with the gauze and just try to take one tooth. You start with one tooth and then slowly progress over maybe 2 to 4 weeks to get them used to having the patient, dog or cat.
Open up wide now, kitty, and that cat's going to open up its mouth, Scott? I mean,
no, usually you can just stick your finger up under their lip and get to their teeth pretty easily. You don't have to do a lot of prying of their mouth or anything like that. So usually they like the flavor of the toothpaste. There's like a salmon flavor and a poultry flavor that they like quite a bit, and they usually accept it, pretty well. And not every cat does, but most cats, a pretty high percentage of them will accept it.
Because of the toothpaste, right? Yeah. The flavor of the toothpaste.
Yeah, and most, if you go slow and get them used to it and, they have a positive feedback where you're giving that they like the toothpaste and you can pet them, you can pet them with one hand, while you're brushing their teeth with the other one.
Well, if our listeners are successful at brushing the teeth of cats particularly, I want to hear from them. I'm just not sure I'm buying all this. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here again. Your questions about your pet's behavior, but particularly we're talking about pet dentistry and cleaning your dog or cat's teeth. How successful are you at getting that important job done? 816-235-2888 here. And how often do you recommend people do it to start off with, Wayne?
I recommend 5 times a week. If they can get that done. But that's with people's schedules and whether or not the pet's cooperative. Sometimes they don't make that. But as Dr. McGee said, I think at least 3 times a week to really make a difference. Then if you can't do it, he mentioned earlier, there are special types of diets and certain types of treats that reduce plaque formation. Those can be real helpful for families that don't have the time or don't have the cooperative pet.
Scott, what are the most common dental hygiene issues you come across in your practice?
Definitely periodontal disease as well as fractured teeth are probably the two most common things we'll see in dogs. In cats, periodontal disease, and then they also get a couple other things, one referred to as stomatitis, another called resorptive lesions, which are sort of like cavities in people, but not exactly the same.
Periodontal disease is what? What is that? How is it caused?
Periodontal disease is an infection of what the supporting structures of the tooth are, so what the tooth sits in a socket of bone, and the supporting structures that help hold that tooth in the socket is an infection caused by bacteria. When you get plaque and when you get plaque buildup on your teeth from not brushing, you'll get back all that bacteria that's in your mouth will kind of get down in between the gum and the tooth and start leading to bacteria, into periodontal disease.
Wayne, if you're checking out a dog or a cat and you know, you haven't worked with this dog or cat's mouth before, how do you sort of make your way into that realm as a veterinarian yourself?
That's a good question. And if I don't know that pet, I'm going to be watching the pet's body language real closely.
Yeah.
And there are certain subtle things that you would look for when you first meet the pet, and as you're doing the rest of the exam and working up to the head area. And if the pet is stiff, if it closes its mouth, uh-huh. it kind of looks at you out of the corner of the eye, you see things like that that suggest the pet's not real comfortable.
And you're not going there.
You might not, but you're certainly going to go a lot slower. And then there are certain ways that you can hold your hand around the pet's neck and head to provide some protection, that if you see a lip curl or you see the teeth come or a snap like that, you're able to push and release and get away from with the teeth on that pet. So, you know, you do it enough years and you look for subtle signs that let you know if you're going to be in trouble or not. And every once in a while, you still get caught by surprise. That's one of the things working with dogs and cats is that a lot of times they don't tell you before they bite.
The oral hygiene of dogs and cats is our topic for this segment of our show. 816-235-2888. If you actually can pull this off with your cat, I want to hear from you. I don't believe it can get done. 816-235-2888. Kevin from Prairie Village, good morning.
How you all doing?
Well, thanks, Kevin.
Good. Actually, I'm a dentist here, but I got a question for the vet that's a dentist. Are you guys doing, you know, let's say you have a dog or a cat coming in and you just see calculus and tartar everywhere. Are you doing an antibiotic pre-med before you start cleaning those teeth, or how are you handling that? Just like precautionary, or just start cleaning away, or what are you guys doing? I mean, you know, I'm curious.
Yeah, generally we don't give every patient antibiotics beforehand.
Sure, I understand.
Certainly we use it infrequently.
Sure.
We usually will rinse their mouth with a chlorhexidine rinse, and then we'll go through and take full mouth x-rays and clean their teeth before we make any decisions on what needs to be done. And then if we have to extract teeth or whether we have to do any sort of periodontal surgery or, you know, if we're doing mm-hmm. root canals, you know, we will make a decision based on that. But I would say antibiotic use has gone down significantly over the past 5 to 10 years, just for concerns about, well, two things. One would be concerns with resistance, but then most of the time, if we have a healthy patient, their immune system is strong enough to take care of any problems that we might be seeing in their mouth. So we rarely use them.
Does that help, Kevin? Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for the phone call. Again, 816-235-2888. Not many calls from cat owners yet. My theory is right. They can't do it. Mark from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Steve. I've been bringing my animals into Dr. Wayne Hutthauser's animal clinic for about 25 years.
Oh, good.
And I've found my dogs. I rescued dogs from DCK where I work. And my dog, Jack, we tried to brush his teeth when we first got him. The problem with him was he always ate the toothpaste. He would swallow the dog toothpaste, and then it would cause him to have diarrhea, which was kind of a problem. So
uh-huh.
we stopped brushing his teeth because he wouldn't quit eating. And we've tried to use, like Costco sells these things called bones. They're white and they're easily digestible, but they help dogs clean their teeth. Do the doctors have any recommendations or any thoughts about those products that people buy for dogs to chew on to clean their teeth?
What about toothpaste that causes diarrhea in dogs, Scott?
I haven't seen a lot of that. That would be an uncommon side effect of that, but it depends on the type of toothpaste and how much you're using. I mean, if they're using a lot, that could certainly potentially lead to it, but that's not something we get a common response from.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different products out there. Not necessarily every one is appropriate for the dogs to be chewing on. Ones that are approved, like I said, by the VOHC, the Veterinary Oral Health Council, they've gone through double-blinded controlled studies to prove that they're safe and effective.
And what's their website?
It's vohc.org is the website. But there are a lot of different chew treats and consumable products out there that have a claim that they're safe for or effective for cleaning their teeth, but they haven't really gone through any trials. They've just sticking a label on there and saying that that's the case. But a lot of those bones, anything that's hard, is more apt to fracture their teeth, which is going to lead to needing potentially a root canal or have that tooth extracted. So we don't recommend real hard substances like a Nyla bone or a knotted rawhide.
So then short of that, what can you recommend a mark that might be helpful? If the toothpaste is causing issues, some dog teeth cleaning toys are too hard, what might be a good alternative?
Well, just like us, I would certainly recommend having the teeth cleaned on at least a yearly basis to make sure that there aren't any problems. But then, instituting different home care products, there are different diets, like Hill's makes one called TD that is effective. There are different water additives. Healthy Mouth is a water additive that has been proven to help reduce plaque and tartar buildup. But there's not a magic bullet that's going to cure it. No, just like us, there aren't a lot of chew treats for us to help with tartar buildup.
You don't have dentine gum or something like that for dogs.
No dentine gum, but brushing is the gold standard. And as long as everybody realizes that if you're not able to do it, or the patient or the dog or cat won't let you do it, to have their teeth cleaned more frequently, that would be the key.
Does that help, Mark?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Mark.
There are some dogs and cats out there, then, Wayne, that have been trained from birth that when it's 8:30 at night and it's time to brush their teeth, will they open their mouth and let you just scrub away with a toothbrush like it's a human?
Some like that social interaction, but especially the doggy kitty toothpaste that they look forward to it.
And that they'll just cooperate and let you scrub away like it's nobody's business.
Some of them will. And again, it's not going to be everyone, and a lot of it depends on starting early and getting the pet used to having its mouth handled. And some of it depends on the temperament of the pet. There are some pets that are more amenable to this than others. One real key on teaching your young pet to look forward to and tolerate having its mouth brushed is when you're starting early and you're just touching the mouth and using the gauze, as Dr. McGee recommended with the toothpaste to rub in the mouth, is go slow. What you want to do that frequently, but stop before the pet stops you. Mm-hmm. If you get real excited about getting this done and you start brushing away or rubbing away with your finger and you push the pet to the point where it starts biting at your finger to make you stop and you say, okay, we both had enough, and then you quit, what that pet learns is it can bite at your fingers to make you stop doing things and you don't want it to learn. So it should always learn that. So it should always be a positive experience. You should quit before the pet becomes frustrated or you become frustrated about what you're doing.
Can you floss a dog's teeth?
I would say no.
Generally, you don't. I mean, the way their anatomy is such that you don't need to floss their teeth because they have more of a kind of a pinking shears occlusion, whereas we have, with our teeth, how they're nice and tight together, we don't really have to worry about flossing.
Their teeth are further apart.
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay. Okay, we've cleared that up. Okay, let's go to Mary from Lawrence. Mary, you're on Up to Date, and you work with your cats, it sounds like. You've had some success.
Yeah, I have. My cat George in particular seems quite open to various needful, healthful things. He lets my husband clip his nails.
Really?
He actually likes to be vacuumed. He likes to have his coat vacuumed. He follows the vacuum around. It's the silliest thing you ever saw.
You think that vacuum would scare him halfway to Toledo?
Well, it's really funny because our younger cat is scared to death of it. As soon as he sees it, he's under the bed.
Yeah.
But the older one with experience has learned that it feels really good because it pulls the dander and the old hair out, and you have to be really careful to keep it away from his head. And I don't think this would work for all cats, but certainly some are quite unique, and he's very unique.
Okay, do you brush their teeth? The cat's teeth?
I have to confess, I haven't done that. But I would bet, as adaptable as George is, that if I tried, I could probably get him to take it after a while. So
why don't you try and let us know next month how it went? I'll be curious to know.
I just might do that. We'll see.
All right, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Tony from Prairie Village. Tony, you're on Up to Date with Dr. Scott McGee, Dr. Wayne Hunhausen. Good morning.
Hi. I have a 10-year-old English bulldog, and anybody that has an English bulldog knows that you have to be somewhat of an amateurish vet yourself to exist with a bulldog. We had an instance where we were at the vet and told them that the breath of this dog, which he couldn't tell, was just absolutely terrible. And he looked in there and said it was impacted hair in the teeth from the dog licking himself, its fur, and also maybe, you know, like licking the rug or whatever. And he pulled some out and showed us, and that helped for a little while until it came back up again. And we tried to do it with a dental tick because brushing doesn't get it out. But trying to get in there with a pick and with an old bulldog like that, it becomes somewhat of a difficult, bloody affair. And evidently, he's concerned about putting the dog under anesthesia because of his breathing problems. So anyway, I was wondering if there was any other recommendation or if you ever heard about this hair problem.
Yeah, Scott McGee, hair between the teeth with a bulldog. What are you going to do about it?
It's we actually see that fairly commonly with bulldogs and pugs and Boston Terriers, dogs that have a kind of smushed-in face. There's a lot of crowding with their teeth and rotation and their kind of the roof of their mouth. The way their anatomy is, they tend to get a lot of hair and such kind of compacted in between their teeth.
Is there a way for Tony to get that hair out?
Depending on, I mean, certainly if it's up on the roof of the mouth, just regular rinses, and some people will take like a paper towel or something like that. But if it's in between the teeth, certainly then...
It's in the bottom.
In the bottom. Yeah, well, then I mean, I would certainly, if there's some underlying periodontal disease and there's crowding, which a lot of times there is, we might have to have some teeth extracted to kind of make it so there's not an area where those teeth are getting, you know, where we're getting hair impacted in there. The other thing is sometimes we can, with, you know, when they're under anesthesia and checking them, that we can kind of do what we call odontoplasty, or kind of remove a little bit of the tooth to kind of create a more of an opening where they're not going to get a lot of hair packed in there. But from an anesthetic standpoint, certainly we anesthetize, and I'm sure Dr. Hunthausen does too, we anesthetize a lot of bulldogs for teeth problems as well as other things. But anesthetic-wise, they do fantastic. You just have to keep a close eye on them, and I wouldn't let that stop me from that perspective.
Tony?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it because it's somewhat of an ongoing.
Yeah, Tony, hang on. Dr. Hunthausen wants to weigh in here too.
Yeah, a couple more things you might want to think about, Tony. Brushing the pet more frequently might get a lot of dead hair up, and that would decrease some of the hair that accumulates between the teeth. And if your pet chews on itself excessively and accumulates more hair between the teeth, maybe another bulldog would, it could be a sign of an allergy. So if the dog has excessive licker and chewer on itself, maybe talk to your veterinarian about addressing allergies that might decrease the chewing and decrease the hair accumulation.
Yeah, he's a bulldog, so he has allergies.
Yeah, he has a lot of everything. He's a bulldog. You're right.
So, okay.
Thank you, Tony.
Appreciate
it. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation about pet health and pet dentistry. We'll turn to your pet behavior questions, too, with Dr. Hunthausen in our second half. We'll get phone calls from Amanda from Overland Park and Cindy from Smithville. So, folks, hang on. We'll get to your calls right after I get back from a break. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our remote broadcast with Peggy Batten on end-of-life issues from the Center for Practical Bioethics in Kansas City, you can find it at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, the good that actually comes from war, plus what is the best medicine for most of our health problems. That's tomorrow on the show. This hour, we're talking about the pet health, pet dentistry with Dr. Wayne Hunthausen. He's with the Westwood Animal Hospital in Westwood, Kansas. Dr. Scott McGee is with the Companion Animal Dentistry of Kansas City. That's located in Lenexa. He's one of the few board-certified veterinary dentists in the world. Our number here again, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Amanda from Overland Park. Amanda, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks, Amanda.
So I brush my cat's teeth.
Tell me
all
how.
Right.
Yeah. How often? Like once every 4 years?
Well, no, I brush them about twice a week. I'd like to do more, but, you know, it's
It's not terrible. He doesn't hate it. It's not his favorite thing to do, but he puts up with it. He gets a treat afterwards. It actually leads me to my question. I had to start brushing his teeth because on a vet visit, we found out that he has a heart murmur, and it was recommended to me that we not put him under anesthesia to get a professional cleaning. So my question is it terrible to put a cat with a heart murmur under anesthesia, or can he have his teeth cleaned professionally without going under if he's just a really good boy?
Dr. Scott McGee.
Well, it depends on what's causing the heart murmur. How long ago was it diagnosed?
He was a stray. He was an adult when we adopted him, which also kind of flies in the face of starting young. I just stuck my finger in his mouth and started brushing, and he let me do it, so I went ahead and kept doing it. I found out about it probably 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I mean, certainly. He's healthy. He's active.
Well, there are a lot of different reasons for them to have a cat or a dog or a person to have a heart murmur, and finding out what is causing it, what the exact cause of that heart murmur is.
I believe it was congenital.
Okay. And certainly, diagnosing a heart murmur, a lot of times we will take chest x-rays. We can do an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart. If that,
I did that.
Comes back, depending on what it comes back as, I would certainly, myself, I would consult with the cardiologist and recommend certain anesthetic protocols, choosing certain types of anesthetic drugs to make it as safe as possible. Certainly,
okay.
we see a lot of cats and dogs with heart murmurs that have been appropriately worked up and evaluated to make sure that they are safe to undergo anesthesia. Mm-hmm. And it might be a simple change in the types of IV fluids, intravenous fluids that we use. It might be just a simple change in a specific anesthetic drug to make it as safe as possible. And we certainly have had very good success with that.
But no chance of getting a professional cleaning if the cat's wide awake.
That would concern me just because of the steps that we have to go through to clean the teeth. I would be concerned with if there's any noise outside or if there's a honking horn or anything that happens, that could certainly scare your cat and cause, with the instruments that we use, they're very sharp, could cause, cause some trauma to the gums, and that could lead to pain, and it could be a real significant problem. So certainly there is a lot of concern with what we would refer to as non-anesthesia dentistry, and to be able to appropriately do it and do a thorough job and make sure it's safe for the patient as well as for the people performing the procedure. It's safest to have them under anesthesia.
Am I doing a terrible disservice by not having them professionally cleaned if I'm brushing them at home?
Well, I would certainly have your veterinarian have your veterinarian look and see if there's, redness in the gums or if there's any gum recession or any fractured teeth, then it really should be addressed because potentially the periodontal disease or if there's a fractured tooth with endodontic disease or an abscess tooth, that could be putting more strain potentially on the heart as well as the rest of the body system.
Okay.
Amanda, thank you.
Just so Steve, you can brush a cat's teeth.
Yeah.
I'm here to say it.
I want to see a video, Amanda. Then I'll believe it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'll send a video.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Betsy has a recommendation. I really like a product that's a seaweed product, and you sprinkle a small amount on the dog's kibble. It really extends the time between dentals. I agree that vet dentals are important, but I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old dog and wouldn't anesthetize her for any but the most serious of reasons. This is a very good alternative. You heard of that before?
Yeah,
seaweed?
There are seaweed products out there. As far as double-blinded controlled studies, there are not really any published reports that say it's any better than anything else. To me, my kind of philosophy, when we're dealing with older patients, is if there's a painful tooth or if there's something painful going on, we can correct that in a fairly short period of time, having them in and taking care of that, and then we make them more comfortable for maybe we're going to live to be 17. Why be in pain for the next 3 years? Why not get it taken care of? No different than if I had a abscess tooth. I wouldn't want, just because I'm 75, I wouldn't want to have to live with that till I die. So I'd rather get it taken care of and get it, you know, get that pain addressed.
Wayne, Jill wrote to ask, what's the best food for cat and dog dental health? Any other thoughts on that?
Well, the food that Dr. McGee mentioned earlier, TD, it's a Hill's Diet, T/D. And it's interesting food. The kibble is large. It's the size of a small biscuit. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a dry food, the outside's a little bit harder than the interior. When the pet bites through it, it doesn't crumble, but the tooth penetrates, and that helps scrape some of the plaque off.
Gotcha. Rocky the Cat emailed us with this. Hey, Steve, you should go easier on us cats. I personally help keep your neighborhood mouse free. My owners use a washcloth on my teeth. One of them holds me gently and pets and talks soothingly to me. I've never seen this before. While the other one wraps the washcloth around their first finger, then gently cleans a couple of my teeth at a time. It works just fine as long as they're quick. I'm also the best looking cat you've ever seen, and it's the cat I'm thinking about, and it is. That cat's a killer. You got to clean that cat's teeth because he's killed so much in our neighborhood. I've never seen anything like it. You know, let's go to Cindy from Smithville. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Very much enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I did not know that you had to clean cat's teeth. I've been a cat person my whole life, and I had an aunt that had a grumpy old cat, and it turned out that, you know, she had bad teeth. And so I called my local vet, and they acted like I didn't know what they were what I was talking about to clean a cat's teeth. So I just wondered how rare this is to put a cat to sleep and clean their teeth. I have a 10-year-old cat, and I know he's probably got some problems in there.
I think it's not all that rare, Scott.
It's certainly not a rare thing. We clean teeth all the time. You know, whether it's a cat or a dog or a person, we certainly all need dental care. So the importance of it is certainly probably more so in a cat than, say, or not more so, but it's just as important in a cat as it would be in a dog.
Okay, Cindy, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Dan from Lenexa. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Enjoying your show. I have a dog, and I use a dental pick on the dog. I do brush with teeth. And I had one before that. This is the Yorkshire Terrier. And I had one before that, and I used to brush his teeth and also use the dental pick on it.
Like the thing that sprays water, Dan?
I use, you know, those picks the dentists use to take tartar off your teeth?
Oh, like the sharp little things. Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, the little sharp little tool. And I use that to get the tartar off of my dog's teeth. And
they'll sit still for you.
And it's worked fine for me.
And they sit still for that.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Do you give him a treat afterwards, or how do you do it?
Well, of course. I always give him a treat, and I always use the toothpaste for dogs. You know, it's got the flavoring in it, and I'll do that. He'll just sit there and let me do it. Not a problem at all.
Okay. I'm glad to have the call, Dan.
Been doing it since he was a baby.
Yeah, hang on, Dan. Yeah.
One thing that's important that we can certainly see a lot of times, and it's an extremely difficult area to get to, is in the back of their mouth, as well as on the roof of the mouth side or the tongue side of the teeth. It's an incredibly hard place to get to in an awake animal.
Yeah.
And that's an area where we will, in the back of the mouth as well as on the inside part of the teeth, that's an area that we will typically see a lot of periodontal disease. And just in the last week, I had two different toy breed dogs come in to me that the owners had been brushing their teeth and cleaning their teeth at home but had not had any professional cleaning done, and subsequently when we got in there and were able to take full mouth x-rays and completely evaluate the mouth, there was just rampant periodontal disease to the point where we had to extract a number of teeth. And so sometimes the crowns or the teeth can look pretty, but underneath the gum line where you're not able to get to, that's where the periodontal disease can hang out and can be a real problem. So certainly what you're doing is great, but I would certainly complement that with regular cleanings under anesthesia with your veterinarian.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, Dan.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We're talking animal health, periodontal health, the health of your dog and cat's teeth. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Dr. Wayne Hunhausen, the Westwood Animal Hospital, is with us. So is Dr. Scott McGee. He's with the Companion Animal Dentistry of Kansas City. 816-235-2888. Fractured teeth, how common are they, Scott? How often do you see that?
We see fractured teeth all the time. We have probably anywhere from, we have people come over 4 to 8 times a week, we'll see dogs or cats with fractured teeth, either from, taking chewing on something too hard.
Too hard, yeah.
Or they'll be, you know, playing with tennis ball or playing with some ball or something that's too hard, and that they'll crack their teeth when they're trying to get to that. So, but most commonly,
you do what in a situation like that? How do you treat that?
Depends on really any time a tooth is fractured and the root canal is exposed or the pulp cavity exposed where the nerve supply is, you have two options. One, you can either extract the tooth or you can perform a root canal on the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of depends on what the owner wants to do and which tooth it is. If it's a main structurally important tooth, we certainly want to try to keep those teeth, and we'll frequently do root canals.
Your website states that your ferret can be trained to accept toothbrushing with time and patience. Even a ferret?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, why would anyone own a ferret? But then after that, why would you want to attempt to? They have really sharp teeth, right?
Yeah, they certainly do. Their teeth, their dentition is similar to a cat as far as the way the teeth are shaped and the number of teeth and that sort of thing. So they can be trained just like a cat or a dog.
Yeah. I noticed you spent your first year of practice in Juneau, Alaska, working on native wildlife and many different kinds of animals. Give us a couple of examples of the type of native wildlife you wound up working on up there.
We worked on some sea lions. We worked on a lot of bald eagles. That's probably the main things that we worked on up there.
Bald eagles?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There was a big raptor rehabilitation center in Juneau, so we did a lot of work with the big raptor rehabilitation center and the main raptors that are up there, which are bald eagles. We would occasionally see golden eagles.
You don't have to worry about their teeth, though. They don't have teeth.
No, they don't have teeth. They had a lot of other problems.
That's good to know. Okay, back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Annie from Prairie Village. Annie, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I had two cats I adopted from two separate litters, two separate kennels, rescue organizations, and they both had inflamed teeth that needed to be entirely removed. The doctor said they were allergic to their teeth, and it was like at 9 months old they had to have that surgery. What is that rare?
It's not uncommon. Certainly, there are kind of three common things that cause a cat's gums as well as their mouth to get inflamed. One would be stomatitis. Another would be periodontal disease, and the last would be resorptive lesions. In a cat that young, I would certainly be concerned with having juvenile periodontitis, where they get really bad, aggressive periodontal disease that leads to pretty significant destruction of the supporting structures of the teeth to the point where they have to be extracted. So is your cat doing better now?
Oh, wonderful. They eat only soft food,
yeah.
But it just seemed so unlikely to have two.
Yeah, we'll typically see, you know, juvenile periodontitis a number of times a month, probably, you know, half a dozen to a dozen times a month. We'll get little young cats less than 2 years of age that have that.
Oh, I see. What's the cause, please? Sorry.
Are they
allergic?
They're not. Well, with juvenile periodontitis, they're not necessarily allergic. They just have a real aggressive form of periodontal disease versus like in people and in older animals, it can take months to years for that periodontal disease or that infection to lead to problems. But in younger people, as well as younger cats or dogs, it can take just a matter of a few months for the destruction to happen to the point where those teeth need to be extracted.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Annie. One more call on this topic of dental health with your dog and cat. Guillermo, I just cut you off by mistake. He had a question about wild animals and what they do in nature when they have tooth issues. What happens?
Well, certainly in your predators, they will have a lot of fractured teeth. There have been a number of studies on
and they just live
wild,
it, right?
Yeah, that they have abscessed teeth and they just learn to deal with the pain. Fortunately, we're able to provide that. Just like human dentists, we're able to provide care to help relieve that, get rid of that pain. But, you know, wild animals can certainly have that problem.
So if a tiger or leopard is growling a lot, maybe they have toothaches.
Correct. And that's one thing.
They're bad-tempered. Yeah.
Like at the zoo, that the handlers will notice that they're not eating as much. The handlers will notice they're chewing more on their left side, mm-hmm. or that they're not approaching their food as fast and that sort of thing, so that
right.
it can be subtle changes that they're noticing in a zoo setting, where we can, you know, it can be taken care of. But out in the wild, it's Kind of a survival of the fittest.
Wayne Huthausen, another common problem this time of year, allergies for dogs and cats. How much of that are you seeing right now, and what do you do about it?
Well, we do see a spike. The biggest allergy season is at the end of the summer, early fall, just like for people. And you have the weed pollens and grass pollens out there. But the other blip is this time of year when you're seeing tree pollens out there. And so we do see an increase in dogs coming in with allergies. It depends on how severe it is, just like with people. If you got a little bit of a runny nose, you're probably going to just ignore it. If the pet is a little itchy. And dogs and cats manifest their allergies typically as itchy skin mm-hmm. rather than upper respiratory symptoms like we do. But if it's mild, then the family just kind of keeps an eye on it. If it's a little more severe, then they might use antihistamines. Those are nice and safe, but they're not quite as effective as they are in people for allergies. And then if those don't work, then a variety of prescription medications we might use.
Okay. I want to thank our guests today, Dr. Wayne Huthausen with the Westwood Animal Hospital and Dr. Scott McGee with the Companion Animal Dentistry of Kansas City. Great conversation about animal dentistry and mouth health, and appreciate you both coming in so much.
Steve,
thanks a lot, guys.
Cats are good.
Oh, come on. Yeah.